Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the DesignFootball.com podcast. This is episode 31. Today I'm joined by John Devlin, who is a graphic designer, author, and football kit expert. Hi, John. How are you?
Hello, Jay. Yeah, good. Not bad, thanks. And you?
Yeah, not too bad. Congratulations on the release of your new book.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Thank you.
True Colours International Football Kits, an illustrated guide. Is that correct?
That's the one. Yep.
Okay. Well, we'll certainly be talking about that a little bit later on. But the main reason I've got you on is to talk about the World Cup kits. So the World Cup fast approaching. Most of the kits have been released or launched, at least. What do you think of them in general?
I wasn't bowled over originally, but the closer I find with so many new kit launches, the closer you look at them, the more you're exposed to them, you actually think, actually there's some brilliant ideas going on here. And when you flick through them, there's some really good stuff, but there's also a little bit of a deja vu going on here as well, and not just from the Adidas collection, but a lot of the designs you think, oh, okay, you know, it's not much of a move on from before, but there's still some good ones out there.
Yeah, Nike in particular, they've got a sort of progression. I suppose all football kits run like that, but this sort of progression with this vapor thing.
Yeah.
And they're just tweaking the designs. So I noticed, not a World Cup kit, but the Manchester City kit for next season is like a combination of the last two home kits. It's quite a strange thing. I don't know if you've noticed that, but
yeah. I thought that looked pretty good, the City one, but it's interesting with that template because there's some slight variations. I noticed the France kit's got like a little button on it as well, hasn't it, on the neck? There's some different things going on. Not quite sure how that fits in with the Nike master plan.
Yeah, I think, I haven't checked it very closely, but that's something I've noticed. I think they have these slight embellishments, like the little button there, which I don't know even if it's a functioning button or if it's just like added on there.
Cosmetic,
Yeah, like completely cosmetic. I don't think, because the Nike kits for the last three seasons have really been developers' kits rather than kit designers' kits.
Yeah.
So that's the way I take them anyway. So they are, the developers say, what is the best football kit that a football team could wear with the maximum ventilation and performance technology, all these buzzwords.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then it's embellished mainly through sublimation by the kit designers, so the next department along, which isn't necessarily always in that order, because the kit designers will work out where seams would be a lot of the time, but this seems, or it's a combination of the two teams working together, developers working with the kit designers to say what looks good and what will be the best to play in as well. So now we're on the third variation of this.
That's right. It's quite
supposedly easy, improvements, I would assume. Is that, that would be your assumption as well, I suppose.
Yeah, but again, the differences are minimal, aren't they? Which I suppose would make sense if they're saying this is the optimum shirt design. Therefore, you know, how much better can the best be, as it were?
Yeah. And also there's the worry that if they've put so much time and money into it, as they'd have us believe they have, in order to make this football kit that they give to everyone, which as a principle is fantastic. It says, all of our clients, we won't shortchange anyone. Everyone's going to have this excellent kit that we've discovered, in effect, this that will make you play a lot better. they might now get to a stage where they go, well, actually, we were right a year ago and we can't improve it any further. And then that's when change comes in for change's sake. And that it might be to the detriment of the performance technology, maybe. But
I think it feels... Sorry, Jay, I'm just going to say, it feels sometimes like, you know, Nike are almost on the brink of something fantastic here or a disaster, because it depends on how this then works out. With every blank canvas going to every team, you're quite right. What's the next stage? How will it then progress? One criticism I would have is that when you look at the shirts, and for me, the shirt design starts, the foundation of the shirt design is with the collar. When they are all the same, and they're all very slick and trimmed back, then where does the shirt go? Do you know what I mean? So if the basic construction is the same, and the badge and the Nike swoosh placement is the same, what changes? And that's when I'm worried if we're going to get into a slightly stale situation there. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. I don't think you're going to struggle to argue that having a flappy collar on a shirt is going to improve the performance of the players.
Exactly.
And that's for us as people who just watch or look at the shirts or buy the shirts or wear the shirts in the pub or whatever it is, we might like a collar on it, but their argument will always be, well, no, that's not going to work out. But the other manufacturers are saying, yeah, it might be a 1% in that particular area that we might lose, but it's still, maybe it will sell better in the shops, or it still looks good aesthetically, it's more pleasing sometimes. Mm. So they would still make that compromise and add something like that.
I think you're right, and I think I've mentioned before with the vapor stuff is it kind of makes me wonder if we're heading into a post-replica age where replica sales aren't important or as important anymore, and it is literally all about performance, form follows function kind of thing, you know. Interesting.
I've suspected for a while that the amount that these brands are paying the big clubs, the Man Uniteds and the Real Madrids and so on, to make their kits, I don't know to what extent they get it back, and whether it's more like a sponsorship deal to say, this is the exposure we need, and then we'll create all these other products which will sell, so trainers and tracksuit bottoms and all this kind of thing. So we don't necessarily need to see that full returns on the football shirt sales. We just need our brand out there and on like the Ultra HD TV screens and all this.
Yeah.
So then it's increasing our profile, and we'll get the money back through sales of other things, which must have always been an element of making football kits for football teams, but maybe more so than ever now.
Could well be. And of course, then we can lean back to the official description that you often see, technical sponsor. Mm. You know, we call it manufacturer design, but the official is the technical sponsor is Nike, Adidas, whoever.
Yeah. And we also know that putting a logo on a shirt does not necessarily mean that they are the manufacturer. That can be a separate deal anyway. But that's
good point.
Quite tangential that. Okay, let's quickly go through the World Cup kits that we know of, because not all of them have been released. A lot of them leaked, and I don't know which ones of these are leaks and which ones are official releases. But let's start with Group A and start with the hosts, Russia. Now, the Russia home shirt is like a retro thing, isn't it? Now, you've just done the book. Did they ever wear that design originally?
I don't think their first team actually ever wore that. So see,
they've worn the reverse as an away shirt, according to a book I've got here.
Yeah, I've got a feeling it was their Olympic shirt. I'm not of the, was it 88 Olympics? I'm not sure now.
Yeah, so
I have a feeling it was their Olympic shirt there, which I didn't cover.
Okay.
But it's a template that was, it's actually, I believe it was a Climalite 2000 template. So one of the first instances of Climalite sort of, you know, high-tech fabric coming out.
Yeah.
Portugal wore it and a few other teams as well.
Just as a general point, do you like the look back at these kits? So the old designs from, we're talking late 80s through to 94, so a sort of 6-year period. Is that what we're looking at the minute with the new releases?
It is. It's primarily that kind of brief window, isn't it? I think in some respects it's brilliant. I mean, people always say to me, what makes a classic kit? What makes a great kit? And I always say it's heritage and, you know, a contemporary feel.
Mm.
And that's exactly what Adidas have done. They've taken heritage and given it a modern interpretation. But the heritage they've looked at is their own, more so than perhaps the country's, if you see what I mean. Mm. So it's an interesting one, and it's, again, if you want to get really kind of analytical about it, it's another depth in design kind of thinking in terms of resurrecting these designs. It's curious that they've taken a span of years rather than saying, let's go for this single design.
Mm.
And they've chosen, you know, I think this new Scotland Home has the famous Dutch kind of geometric pattern on the front. It's, you know, that influence is coming in. So it's not always shirts that the teams have worn previously, but it's certainly a very strong theme that they're going for. Although, of course, not every team has that aspect with the new shirts.
No, and the Russia away shirt, I believe, is one that they've gone for one of these like patterns.
Yeah.
I think it's like a mix of dots and squares and things. Is that right?
That's right. And again, it's maybe we can talk about that more when we look at the Nike stuff, is that there is definitely, I feel, a hard line now between home and away shirts, possibly more distinct than ever before. And there's almost a different approach for each design sometimes.
Mm. Okay, so continuing Group A, moving on to Nike for Saudi Arabia. I don't really want to talk about these. I think the home is green and the away is white, or vice versa. So it's very, very plain. Not a lot going on. Even the sound wave thing that all the shirts have got on the sleeve, I didn't even notice that with the Saudi Arabia kit. Okay. So that might be the only thing that really makes it unique in any way. It's incredibly plain.
And it's, I don't know about you, Joe, I find it really funny that considering this is a real strong aspect of virtually every single Nike shirt at the moment, the firm itself aren't making a big explanation of what that Soundwave business is all about, really, are they? Have you found that?
I haven't seen like the marketing talk about it, no. I remember Umbro had it on a Manchester City shirt, didn't they? They had a Soundwave in the background, which was meant to be Blue Moon or something, I think. Soundwave of Blue Moon playing.
Mm.
It's a nice idea, and it works best. I really like the new Paris Saint-Germain shirt, where they've got it as the central red band, the vertical band that runs down the front. They've done that in the Soundwave, and I think that's a really nice twist on that.
Not seen that, and it's definitely a sound wave, because I mean I look at it and think it to me it looks like kind of cracked ice is what I always get that impression, but it's definitely, they're definitely calling it a sound wave.
I don't quote me on that, I don't know.
Okay.
So maybe it's whatever you want it to be.
Yeah,
if they haven't pushed it, I think I might have heard that somewhere, but if they haven't pushed it enormously, then maybe it's for us to decide for ourselves.
I think the manufacturers could do themselves a great favour if they actually engaged the replica buying public a little bit more with the design. So rather than just giving out PR or marketing spin, or an explanation, actually really go to get under the skin of the design and explain what they're doing. They might find people would warm to the designs a bit more.
Do you think people are screaming at us now, saying, we did explain it, you can't even bother to read the stuff we've sent out?
It could well be. I've not seen much on it. It's just, you know, they come out and that's it. Adidas seem to be a little bit more explanatory about their inspiration. But, yeah, I don't know. We may be proved wrong. Maybe we've missed it. Mm. We missed that memo.
Perhaps, but there's a failure there anyway, isn't there? If we haven't been, they haven't engaged us enough for us to have read whatever they've put out, then that's on them still, I think.
I think so.
Maybe. Also in Group A, Egypt. I don't know why it's got that checkerboard thing, in the jacquard, the thing that Rangers had in the 80s. It's red with white and black trim. I think it's very Egypt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I quite like it. Mo Salah plays for Egypt, doesn't he?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, so, yeah, I like it. I like the idea of him wearing that shirt. And that works quite well.
The way, I think, is that standard design that Adidas have rolled out for Belgium and Scotland with the kind of, it's like a mixture of horizontal jacquard shadow stripes and with varying thicknesses, creating a slight, again, checkerboard effect.
Yeah, that checkerboard effect looks like an Umbro thing from years ago.
Yeah, it does.
I don't mean like the Rangers one, but there was another one, wasn't there, that they had? Didn't Derby have it and things?
They did. Yeah, exactly. You're exactly right. And also, even that varying thickness, that's not a brand new thing. Mm. And that's what I mean about a little bit of deja vu with a lot of these designs. You think, oh, I've seen that before.
Hmm.
But again, I think they're nothing remarkable, the Egypt ones, but they're solid enough, aren't they?
Yeah, well, I do like the home. I think we got a little bit confused with it. So we see a lot of them and we go, well, what kit is that referring to? And then you've got to remind yourself that it doesn't necessarily have to refer to a kit from the past. It's taking different elements from maybe not even the same team and putting it together to make the best kit they can. And I think the Egypt one works quite well, so... Fair but it's, that, I suppose.
Again, it makes me wonder in the where the decisions are made.
Mm.
When you know, what's the criteria for people saying, okay, we're going to give you a retro design or we're going to give you a teamwear template design? There's no hard and fast rule, is there? As we'll see as we go through the rest of the teams.
So Uruguay, just to finish off Group A, Uruguay, the first Puma team. I quite like the home. I think the home has got the big sun thing, which is on the Uruguay flag. Is that right?
That's right. It's taken from a monument in Uruguay, apparently. But what I like about the Uruguay shirts and the way they're developing is that there's a theme. So this sun that's obviously represented on the flag is being rolled out and reinterpreted each time, but there's a consistency, there's like a linear progression with what they're doing. So this is another one of those designs, which I think works really well.
Mm. Yeah, I do like that one. The away on that, again, is pretty plain, so I'm not particularly... I don't have anything particularly to say about that. Do you, John? Or is...
No, and again, we're looking at something that you think, okay, if... Have I seen that before? I don't know. You know, it's that kind of feeling I'm getting.
There has been a fair amount of criticism of Puma because I know that a lot of football kits, maybe 90% of football kits, are template based anyway.
Yeah.
But the Puma ones with the same neck design on each one, the contrast sort of almost like a dog collar neck design on a lot of them, they've been criticised quite widely that there's a lack of originality there. But you look at the Puma kits as well, and you certainly see the... Puma have always done their own thing, and they've done a lot of tight shirts over the last few years anyway, so it's difficult to say who actually started this, but they seem influenced by the Vapor style. So there's almost an acceptance from the two companies that that is what a football kit should look like now, the very sleek design, very slim fitting.
Seems to be going that way, doesn't it?
Mm. Group B, Portugal. I wasn't particularly impressed with the home or the away for Portugal. There's a little bit of design on the Portugal away shirt. Is it like the dotted thing and going into green? Is it white?
Yeah. Green? You see, I quite like that. The home one, okay, it is what it is.
Mm.
This is where I get excited by what Nike are doing, because many of their away shirts have this little bit of edge to them. And I think this is really subtle, but it's really beautiful at the same time. That subtle kind of cross, the kind of explorer's cross from Portuguese naval history, as it were. And then it's faded out with different sizes to create this abstract, very modern, very contemporary approach. But I think it works.
Mm. Okay, yeah. The Spain one, Spain are in the same group as Portugal. I like that group because Portugal, Spain, I mean... This is just like say what you see, but Portugal, Spain and Morocco in the same group, and geographically obviously that's three very local derbies there, which excites me, but it's probably irrelevant. the Spain home kit we've seen, it's a remake of the 1994 shirt. I don't think it's bringing anything new. it happens to the blue on it happens to look purple because they've done it in short lines.
Yeah.
And the red shows through, so then it turns it purple, which was controversial because it's like a socialist. It's like it's socialist colouring from the Spanish Civil War, something like that. But that's a complete fluke thing. We've talked enormously about on various podcasts, but is there anything you want to add to that regarding that shirt?
The only thing I'd say about this, and this is something that isn't often talked about, another reason why shirts are looking, you know, it feels like they haven't moved on very much, is logo, manufacturer's logo and team crest are in the same position on nearly every shirt now. There's none of this movement. It's I feel that's quite static. The Spain one is one of the few shirts where the Adidas logo is sitting centrally.
Yeah,
because of that band down one side. And for me, it's just giving us a little bit of difference there. I think there's a real danger of this kind of identikit approach, a monoculture of kits, where everything's beginning to look a bit the same and has done for some time. And, you know, a little bit of movement with the way a bit more imagination with where these things are placed might not be a bad idea.
Yeah, that's a good spot. As soon as you mentioned the placement, I thought, oh yeah, the Adidas logo's in the middle there, probably because it wouldn't show up very much on the pattern down the other side.
I mean, it wasn't uncommon, obviously, as you know, a few years back, Adidas were doing that quite often. But when you consider we've got shirt numbers as well, I just think there's scope there for manufacturers to do something a bit more interesting with their logo placement.
Yeah. Yeah, and also that if you do put the logo in a weird position to allow for the squad number, that is going to push people to get the shirts printed up with the squad number to complete the look, I suppose, as well. So there's a marketing element to that as well.
I think that's definitely the case, and that's something I think Newcastle pioneered that in the late 90s, where they had the shield on the back of the shirt. Do you remember? It looked odd if there wasn't a number on there. So yeah, there's scope for that as well.
Yeah. Regarding the movement of the logo, we mentioned Vapor, and obviously they've got it's all set up for every kit. This is where the logos go. In the Australian A-League, or the A-League, they have a sponsor, I think, or the competition branding on the chest. So they do move the swoosh to the centre on those shirts.
Oh, okay.
So that's an allowance that there is for that. So just for the completists out there. The Spain away, I wanted to talk about the Spain away. And this is like it's red on like an off-white colour. Have you seen this?
Yeah, it's a really bright red, which is almost appearing orange in some photos that I've seen. And that incredibly pale blue, which, you know, again, it's trying something a bit different. So I'm all for that.
Yeah, that colour, I would spoke to someone. I was with a work colleague the other day, and we were driving along. And we saw like a Golf, like a VW Golf. I know absolutely nothing about cars. And he said that colour of that Golf, that's an extra $3,000. I said,
wow.
There's an extra $3,000 to have it in that colour. And I said, well, it's white. And he said, no, it's not white. It's this slightly off-white with a tint of blue. And I've seen it on two other football kits as well. I think Chelsea had it last season.
Yeah, something
and maybe
very
Everton
similar
as well. So I don't know where this has come from, but why would you pay an extra $3,000 to get your car slightly off-white to make it look slightly dirty?
It's a mystery. It's a mystery, isn't it? Well, but what I find really funny with the Spain kit is that the shorts are white. So it's kind of actually, does it work? Does it not? I'm not sure. The shirt, I think, looks good. And I like that reinterpretation of the classic Dutch geometric design on the front there. I say Dutch, of course, other sides wore it as well. But the shorts are white, and it feels like it's not, the difference isn't quite enough. But clearly it's deliberate.
Yeah. There's been a bit of that recently with the shirt not matching the shorts perfectly, particularly with Adidas, I think.
Whereas
Nike went the other way and have started making shorts in exactly the same material as the shirt, so there's no differentiation at all. But Adidas have gone the other way. Morocco also in the group, as I mentioned. We've only seen the away shirt, and it's that new template that looks like the Admiral England 82 thing.
And even then, I did a little bit of research on this the other day. Some Moroccan news people are saying that there's been such uproar about this design that they've pulled it. And I don't know if that's true, whether I'm gossiping hideously there, but there's huge mystery about Morocco, and funny enough, Iran as well, who are in the group too. But it's a real mystery about what's happening with their kits.
I don't know why you would, because that's I quite like that template. Maybe I because do. It's yeah. a template. But, and I love that, it's, I think especially, I don't know if this, oh no, it's not. If you get it in white and blue, that template, because it's like a pub team template as well. You can get it out of the teamwear catalogs.
Yeah, yeah.
If you get it blue on white, you just need like some red, probably red electrician's tape, like insulation tape, and you can turn it into that England 82 shirt, I think.
But if you put that tape on, it will double the weight of the shirt, possibly, and not wick sweat so much. So they're the things you need to think about.
Yeah, I'd forgotten that. Good point. Morocco, so we haven't seen the home shirt from Morocco.
No.
Just on the subject of shirts being pulled, I don't know if you've seen it, but China had this fantastic black shirt with dragons in the watermark, and bright, and the logos are bright yellow. They released it. They haven't promoted it at all. Apparently, the Chinese FA are really angry with it. With Nike for making it, apparently. And
okay.
It went on sale and it sold out immediately. This is something I've heard on one of the websites you might hear these sorts of things on. I don't know how much truth there is in it.
Interesting.
It was brilliant as well. I really wanted that one. And apparently it's gone.
What is it, a cultural thing? Have they made some cultural faux pas?
Yeah, I was...
Did they get Prince Philip to design it? I mean, what's happening
there?
Well,
I spoke to Angelo Troffa the other day, and we talked about he's done some Japan designs where it's just like the flag. So it's a white shirt with a red circle in the middle of it, and it looks really good. But I just wonder if these things look good because we're not so au fait with the culture. But to someone from these, I'm using Japan as another example. I'm not grouping China and Japan together. But if you're actually from the country, maybe when these designs are shown and they're popular with people elsewhere, you have a completely different take on it. I remember how I felt about when Nike released the original like Marinier away shirt with the stripes, and that was
I knew you were going to say that. It's a similar kind of scenario, isn't it?
Yeah, and I was kind of offended. I like it, and it's something I would wear, but I remember just thinking, it's too easy. French stripy jumper, like. Whether that's actually getting into what the culture is or not, or whether it's just your stereotype of what French people are. I
remember we had a conversation at the time about it, and I mean, I loved it. It's one of my favourite ever shirts, I have to say. But again, is it a kind of... it's not a white and black and white thing. Is it like another countryman's view of that culture, which can be incredibly patronising? So... Certainly, and when you look at some of the smaller nations where they have a very strong culture that maybe we don't always appreciate, there is a danger that we'll get it wrong. But as I know with these companies, they do tend to do that research very thoroughly and will really try and get under the skin of what makes that country tick.
Mm. It's surprising that it's got to that stage, to release stage, and then the Chinese FA have gone, well, no, we're not allowing you that. You just think Nike would just show a trail of emails showing that it's been accepted several times, and
something doesn't feel really right to me. With it. Something doesn't feel right about that story. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
No, it could just be rubbish. But I don't own that shirt, so there's the main problem I have. I haven't marked anything down for Iran. I'm not sure if the shirts have been actually released yet. Have you got...
Nothing on them. But it's interesting, as we have nothing to talk about for them. Mm. It's a very red group, isn't it? I think every team there has a red home shirt.
Yeah.
So it's going to be... I've got a feeling there might not be some clashes, but I think even with the aways, there might be some, red and whites going about, bandied about there.
Okay. All right. Group C... we've just mentioned France.
Yeah.
The home shirt we've mentioned earlier, it's got the little button on the collar.
Yeah.
It's got the sound wave thing down the sleeve as well.
Do you know what? Every time I refresh my page and I see that shirt appear on a different page, my opinion changes. Sometimes I love it. Sometimes I think something's not quite right and I can't put my finger on it. But it's, I don't know, Jay. Yeah, I'm mixed. I have a mixed opinion. I should love it. I don't quite know why I'm not.
It's what's new about it is Nike new. It's not France new for that one. So they've got the right retro crest, which they've had for a few shirts now, which is lovely. But that's not new. They've got the button on the collar, and they've had that before. I think they've had like a granddaddy type look to at least one shirt that they've released over the last few years for France. So all they've brought to the table that's new is not related to France. It's related to Nike in the Soundwave thing. So it's fine. I don't have a problem with it, but it's not something I can get particularly excited about.
And yet it should be, shouldn't it? When you look at it, you think, hang on, we've got this, you know, the zigzag sound wave knit pattern on the sleeves. We've got the French flag running down the inside. There's lots there to get excited about, but somehow it doesn't feel like it's fitting together well.
Yeah, maybe we're a little bit spoiled with the Nike shirts that have been released, the Nike France shirts that have been released over the last few years. Maybe they've been so good
Should it be the royal blue again, do you think? Or are you happy with the navy?
No, I quite like it dark, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it works with the stylings. So the crest like that, I think it works. It has a better look, but yeah. I'm sure they'll tone it down on the next one.
Okay.
Yeah. The away shirt has the coloured flecks on it. I did like it originally when I started seeing the leaks, but it doesn't really excite me now. Does it do anything for you?
It's like, I don't mind this. I'm quite a fan of Nike's away stuff this year. But it's bringing back memories for me. I don't know about you, of that England, the first England shirt after the 09 one, where they had the little Peter Saville crosses on there.
Oh, yeah.
It's got that kind of a feel to it, that, kind of slightly random arrangement.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know, Jay. I don't mind it.
It's okay. I've got a jumper that I bought from Primark about 10 years ago. It was a very similar design to that.
I know. Yeah, I could guess where you were going to go with that.
I literally do. I'm not saying that. It looks like one you could buy in Primark. I've literally got it. Australia are in that group as well.
Yeah.
I quite like the home. The home's got the design on the sleeves.
Yeah, exciting. I think that's where we start to see the idea of this Nike shirt working, by giving everyone the blank canvas and I think, right, here we go. What can we embellish it with? Something that's got some kind of meaning. And there is some meaning to this, isn't there, as well? Is it supposed to be waves, a sea of gold, apparently?
Have you heard that story? I thought it was mountains or something. I might be wrong. Well, do they have mountains in Australia?
They're talking about, apparently, the game where Australia qualified for the 06 World Cup, and the captain at the time issued a statement saying, let's create a sea of gold, and that's what this is supposed to be representing, like a battle cry. But again, it feels quite, not a tenuous story, but it feels, is that really a good enough story for the inspiration here?
I think we'd kind of be satisfied with it if there was no story, because it looks good.
Yeah.
So I suppose we keep on saying retrofitting, but I don't know if it necessarily is, but if they come up with something and then they tweak it once they've got the narrative, I'm not really going to complain about that, I don't think.
I personally don't need a concept for every shirt design. If it's real, if it's strong, then great, but I don't think every shirt needs it.
No. The away for Australia is the dark green with the weird sash that seems a little bit low, and it's done with like two coloured paint strokes. Do you like that one?
It's okay. Yeah. I'm really struggling to get my head around a lot of the designs because, again, they seem to be... It's almost as if they're all coming from the same stable in a way. Both Nike and Adidas. The same designs, the same basic feel with these varying thicknesses of line and the way the colour works with them. So there's a kind of a, you know, there's a similarity there, I feel. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Things are going to be tied in together through the same brand anyway, I suppose.
But I feel there's a crossover between the stylings of many shirts at the moment.
Yeah. Peru, you have to really go some to design a bad Peru shirt. I certainly don't think Umbro have done that. I think they've done brilliantly for Peru over the last few... Oh, in fairness, if you look at some of the Peru shirts from the late 90s and early 2000s, they're horrendous.
Yeah.
So you can actually do badly. But Umbro have been great with them recently, I think, personally, and I don't think these are exceptions.
I think they've been. I think Umbro have been very strong with virtually all their South American jerseys. Mm. A lot of the domestic club sides as well. I think if people in the UK saw more of those designs, I have a suspicion we'd see more Umbro in Premier League.
Yeah, yeah, quite possibly. I think I mentioned I spoke to Andrew Troifer the other day, and in one of his little magazines that he releases. He put a Peru shirt in there, and that's possibly my favourite one. That he used Umbro as the manufacturer on that as well, I think.
Oh, okay.
And that would be the definitive Peru shirt, in my opinion.
It's interesting with this one as well, is that they've got those little gold tapings there, which was an Umbro motif from last year that I don't believe is carrying on this year. I think, for example, Derby and I think West Ham had it as well. So that's interesting that a new design has a slightly older design flourish there.
Yeah. Hmm.
What do you think of the thickness of the sash? Should that be bigger?
No, I think that's about right, isn't it? You think it's a bit slim, do you?
I think it's a little bit. It's going to sound like I'm name dropping here. I don't mean to be. When I was at Talksport on Friday, Paul Hawksby was saying there that he felt the sash needed to be much thicker, much deeper. Mm. And certainly, if you look at the late 70s Peru shirts, they were a bit more substantial in that department. But I don't know.
Hmm. The away shirt is. I think is it a reverse? It's not an entire reversal, I don't think, but it is. It's a white sash on red, isn't it?
That's right. Slightly different Umbro diamond taping device they're used, but
yeah, of course. Yeah.
I like the away. I think that works really well.
The Denmark are also in that group now. See, Hummel recently came back for Denmark, and people were looking forward to these kits, thinking that they might. Do a reimagination of the 86 kits. They haven't actually done that, but they're quite minimalist kits, but the chevrons have a nod to the 86, which I think is fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah, very that's typical Hummel, very elegant, very considered, but really nice type. They don't always do the obvious. Although, having said that, a lot of their kits, you know, they're very much of the Hummel family, obviously, but they don't always give people what they expect. So I think these are really good. Very simple, very plain, very elegant, though.
Hmm. Yep.
Sorry, Jay. One thing on the Denmark shirts, it's the return of the kind of full B logo for Hummel, which we haven't seen properly for crikey, I don't know, 20, 30 years? Rather than just having the word Mark Hummel, they've actually got the B device as well.
That's what Hummel means, bumblebee, in German, doesn't it?
Yes, something like that. but it's great. I was really excited to see that back.
Yeah, no, I didn't know. I haven't noticed that. That's brilliant. That's really good. Okay, Group D, Argentina. It's the home shirt. It's all right. They're doing something with the with the stripes. They've got like a gradient chevron-y thing going on in the stripes. Did you like that?
Yeah, it reminds me when you get a JPEG and you blow it up too much and it becomes pixelated. It's got that kind of feel to it, hasn't it, a little bit? But I think that's... again, it's almost like you'd never notice that on the pitch. That are these only elements for the replica wearers to admire and appreciate?
The away shirt has got this design, and Columbia's got this as well, which is a like a 1990 around that time sort of design, isn't it? The three bars coming in from the side.
Yeah, very traditional sort of early 90s Umbro Adidas classic. Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of it. I think it works for the Columbia one because they actually had a shirt of that style. Oh, maybe Argentina did as well, actually.
They did, yes. They did have something in navy blue, not black. But
okay. But I think some teams have got it as like a training shirt, so it looks a little bit cheap for me because some of the club sides next season are having it as a training shirt.
So, do you know what? You've hit the nail on the head there, Jay. That's the kind of the missing part of my thinking with these modern kits this year. They all have that training shirt aesthetic, and it's the varying thicknesses of stripes, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's exactly right. Yeah,
yeah. Home's okay, away's okay, but you have problems. Iceland. I've talked about these before. I don't like them. They've got this paint splatter dotty thing on the sleeves. Are you a fan of them?
I want to love them. And sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. I think the away works very well. They've got a nice, I think, is there a third shirt as well? I don't know. There's been talk about that too. But it's great to see a smaller brand in there. That's what I like, to see an Area shirt or Area shirt there as well at the World Cup. It's really important. But I think, you know, I think they're okay.
Yeah.
Lots of okays, aren't they, with this World Cup? We're not sort of enthusing, but...
Yeah. I think they've got one in blue, one in white, and one in red, and maybe the red's the goalkeeper shirt or something, but I'm not overly impressed with them. Croatia, they've made the checkerboard thing on the home shirt a little bit fuzzy, and then the away shirt is black and blue, the checkerboard thing again. I'm underwhelmed by those.
Yeah, the away I think is very attractive. The Croatia home, it's a difficult one to get really, really excited about because it's always going to be like that, isn't it? It's always going to be that checkerboard. But the away I think works well.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's another one. The away is maybe one of these people will buy it because it's unassuming. Maybe it doesn't. You're not going to see someone wearing that from a long way away.
It feels, doesn't it, sometimes with these designs, that in the same way that a shirt now has so much kind of visual, I'll use the word clutter, on it, that there's lots more influences behind a shirt design. There's a lot, you know, there's different thinking behind what it needs to look like, what it needs to do. Mm. Are Nike taking into account the replica wearing market, or are they not? So I know what you mean. I mean, that's a very easy shirt to wear casually, isn't it, the Croatia away?
Yeah, you're not going to offend anyone with that. Nigeria. Now, I hope you love the Nigeria home shirt.
Yeah, all good. All good as far as I'm concerned. Looks great.
Yeah, that's one of my favourites. Not actually my favourite, but certainly one of them. It's a reimagination. I like that word. I'm not sure it is a word. Reimagination or reimagining of the Nike shirt that they released after the 94 World Cup.
That's right, yeah.
But yes, it's modernised. It's not a direct reproduction or a reissue or anything like that. It brings something new to the table and I really like it. The away is very plain, so we won't bother talking about that. I think it's just a dark green.
But then again, we're seeing this home and away. It's almost like all the eggs are in one basket with all of these kids from Nike, that they can't go overboard too much on both, so one will always be a bit tamer.
Yeah, yeah. Which, and it also caters for everyone, doesn't it? If you can't wear that sort of shirt anymore, but you still want to show your support for the team, And you prefer something slightly more understated. I'm not sure that's how to phrase that.
I know, I knew what you meant.
Then you could go with your way. Okay, so Group E, Brazil, one of the favourites for the tournament. The home shirt, I thought, is very Brazil-like. So it's got a nice classic look to it. I quite like the socks on that one. The shirt has the sound wave, whatever it is, on the sleeves. And it's just nice, quite balanced. Would you agree with that?
I think it's fine. I think it's hard to get... Do you know what? It's really hard to get really excited about a Brazil shirt, but it's also really hard to get offended by one as well. They're just always what they are. I know there's been a little bit of talk about matching the shade of yellow perfectly to the 1970 World Cup. I don't know if that's true. But with all of these Nike home shirts, there's this subtle, really subtle design on the front that I've not yet quite got to grips with. Mm. A kind of aerated fabric, tonal... stripes, horizontal. I'd love to see exactly what that design is.
The away I quite like. It's got like a isometric star design, star around the crest. I quite like that one.
One of my favourites of the whole tournament. I love that shirt. Mm. I love it. I think it's exactly what Nike should be doing with these blank canvases, as I call them.
Yeah, exactly. It does. It. They all have such limitless potential because they are blank canvases, like you say. So something like that is realising that potential. I agree.
And I much prefer seeing the tonal shapes rather than stripes. I think those thin stripes, for me, and it's going to sound like I'm being really picky here, but for Adidas and Nike, they don't often feel like the right thickness. The Argentina away shirt is a good example. The lines on the black lines on the side panels are just a little bit too thick. Okay. I feel my
yeah. Yeah, so it's almost a crude way of doing it.
Yeah, you know? Kind of. Yeah.
I don't really want to talk about Switzerland because they're pretty plain as well. Did they stand out for you?
Well, do you know what? I mean, again, we're looking at this standard Puma approach to their World Cup kits. And with all due respect to Puma, it is kind of difficult to get really enthused about these. Mm. But the Swiss one does have that really beautiful map topographic shadow jacquard pattern that I think is a really lovely little design.
Okay,
I really like that.
Yeah, all right. Costa Rica, these plain ones again?
Quite plain. We've got a, what would you call that? Like a geometric kind of, I don't know what you'd call it. It's very clearly something done in Illustrator, the Adobe Illustrator. Right. But it's, that's the only very subtle adornment. Mm,
okay. Serbia. So the home's very plain again. So it's another Puma one. The home's very plain for Serbia. The away has a stripe of the flag running kind of turn 90 degrees and then elongated running down the front. Is that right?
Yeah, something like that. But it fades out at the top and bottom.
Mm. Yeah, that's quite a nice one. I quite like that one.
Yeah, something a little bit different. But the, again, Puma are almost interchangeable. You could see the Swiss and the Serbia home shirt as well. There's, you know, it's finding the little aspect that makes it unique, I guess.
Group F, Germany. Obviously, this is one of the more higher profile releases anyway. And obviously, because of the design, is revisiting the 88 Euros and more pertinently, the Italia 90 design. What do you think of what they've done with it?
I think it works really well. Mm. I think it works well. They've again, we've seen these lines. So it's got a slight training wear feel to it. You know, it's not being rude to say that. It has got that approach. Doesn't appear to be very slim fitting, does it? They've definitely moved much, much further away from the tech fit designs from a few years back. Mm. So it's got a kind of a, it almost got a retro fit to it as well. But it looks great. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, they've got this, I think that is probably the one of the ones where the shoulder, so the torso material, seam actually goes over the shoulder slightly.
Yeah, but there's a couple that do that. Yeah. So most of them obviously have a traditional seam. These ones have got shorter sleeves but a wider torso fitting.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a slightly different fit. And I think a lot of the new Adidas releases have a longer back as well. So like tile on them.
Okay.
Which is, yeah, it's a new look they're going for. So obviously it falls straight, I think, is the approach. So
right, I
it's
see.
Probably quite fitted on the chest, and then it falls straight after that.
Yeah,
I quite like it. It's always going to be second to the original design. So it's
of course.
Because it's derivative. If this had been released before the original design in Italian IT, then this might seem better. And obviously you can't do the colours anymore with the flag because of regulations, that kind of thing. But
yeah,
it's all right. The away doesn't excite me at all. That seems very Adidas-y in the worst way. So that they're... Oh, you like it? You like that?
I'm quite a fan. Mm. Yeah, I think it works well. It's a very cleverly constructed shadow pattern on there. I love the colours. I think the tones of the colours are spot on. So, yeah, one of my favourites, that one.
The Mexico, I like them both. The home has got the nod to the 93 and... really the USA 94 shirts that the likes of Romania wore, with the three bars on each side of the torso coming up from the bottom. And the away is the very classic look, isn't it? It's got the hoop band.
Yeah, my kind of kit. I love it. I think that's really strong.
Yeah. You can do that every few years, can't you? You can do something that just nods back to a retro kit.
Yeah, well, actually, it's what they have done, which I think is quite nice as well, is that they've got the red, and we're looking at deeper shades of green and red here with several of the teams. But by having red shorts, that again is a nod to the kind of late 70s, early 80s period of that kind of kit.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a good one. The Sweden one's grey. The Sweden home. Looks very much like the Italian 90 shirt. Is that the one it's based on around?
Excuse me. It's possibly the neckline is similar, but the actual diagonal pattern probably takes its influence from the 1990 shirt that Sweden wore.
Yeah.
That actually, I refer to it in my book as the diagonal brickwork shirt, and I defy anyone to come up with a better description than that. I'm sure there is one. But actually, by 1990, that template was a little bit old hat by then, but it's great. I mean, Man United had it as well, Ipswich, but it looks great. I think the diagonal stripe design, I love the Adidas stripes under the arms down the seams of the shirt, looks great. So very good,
that one's a winner. And then I think the away is another one of these, I call them Adidas-y, but it's using that checkerboard thing with the dots again.
Yeah, created again, as I say, by three thicknesses of stripe there.
Yeah.
That gives that pattern. Well, I think this is actually, I love that template. It's so simple but so flexible, and it works great on the Sweden with the Sweden colours. Again, the shade of blue is just right.
South Korea, the home doesn't really do much for me. The away, I love that one. Did you like that?
Again, it's the same thing, isn't it? Yeah, very, very plain home. But the away one, a little bit of flair, a little bit of almost distort. It looks like distortion, doesn't it? Mm. When your TV used to go on the blink, it's got that kind of feel to it. Whether that will, you know, I can't see this extending much beyond this. So I don't know where these designers will go from that kind of style. But it works well on this shirt.
Yeah, I think it's the yin yang thing off the flag, isn't it? It's that sort of. I think it's like a distortion of that.
Yeah, I think I read somewhere about a tiger pattern as well. I don't know if that's true, okay. But...
Group G, Belgium. What are your thoughts on the Belgium kits?
Oh, well, the one it's based on is one of my all-time favourite shirts, primarily the away version. Mm. I think this is great. I think it's masterfully done. And that Argyle design, the diamond, gradiated diamond pattern, is woefully underused, so I'm a big fan.
I wanted it back, and now that it's been released, I'm not sure.
Oh no,
I think I like it, but I don't know, it just doesn't seem to fit in with the time, I don't think.
Right, okay. Well, funny enough, actually, you know, we talked at the beginning, didn't we, about how all of these influences are coming from a specific era in the team's history. This, of course, bucks that trend and goes right back to 83, 84, is it? I think something like that.
Yeah. The away, again, is this checkerboard dot thing. But this, they've done the stripes in the Belgium colours, which is quite good.
Yeah, nice touch.
Panama. I've made a note that the away shirt has something interesting about it, does it?
Again, Jay, we're looking at a straightforward design embellished with this repeated pattern. So it looks, it's a New Balance shirt, as you say, but it looks like something that could almost come out of the Nike or Adidas studio.
Yeah.
So, yeah, chevrons made up of little kind of squared effect. It's a real thing. Anyone that draws kits like I do wince when we see something like this, especially if we've got a deadline and we need to get it done for somebody. So, I'm not a fan for that reason alone.
Okay. Tunisia, I know, I'm pretty sure they're made by Allsport, is that right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I've made no notes about them, but they're very, very plain, aren't they?
They are.
Okay.
Crew necks, we're seeing a lot of crew necks in this World Cup. I don't think there are any collars actually in this World Cup at all.
Oh, okay. No.
So we're seeing at least a definite move away from that design element.
England, what do you think of these?
I think they're good. Yeah, I think they're good. I think we've gone back to traditional colours, and it feels a bit perverse to not give people what they want. I don't always like that. I think if people are crying out for traditional colours, let's give them it. You know.
Yeah.
So I think there's just enough difference. We've got a little bit of red trim on the neck, which is something again that most of Nike's Vapor teams haven't got, that extra design element. But yeah, seeing the blue shorts back, nice red squad number on the shorts as well. Interesting move. But as we said before, I'd like to see something a little bit different with that Nike logo placement. Some, you know, shake it up a little bit.
Yeah. It has to be said, and I will always say this, that the away shirt is, it just, I don't understand. They seem to have gone for exactly what they went for with the last World Cup away shirt with the the sort of sublimated and barely noticeable cross thing. I don't know why they've done that.
Yeah, it's weird. I think, crikey, you could think about and talk about this all day, couldn't you? What's going on? That these subtle themes that are coming in and kind of overlapping a little bit. And we've seen that again. Umbro always went very bold with their patterns and their designs, whereas now lots of repeated patterns, but they're all quite subtle. And the England one here is a typical example. I wonder if that should have been bolder. Could have been, couldn't it?
I don't know. I think if it's red on red, you'd think they'd be able to get away with it. I don't know.
Yeah. The tonal stuff's, I'm not saying it's been done to death, but it's certainly been around for a little while now.
What I'd say about the home kit is it's immediately recognisable as England, which wasn't necessarily the case with the previous kit. So that's something.
That's an important factor. Yeah, an important factor.
I quite like the Group H, final group. I quite like the Poland kits. They've got like this like semi Monaco style diagonal thing.
It works, doesn't it? I think again, Poland are one of those teams that you think, oh, okay, every year. But actually, this time I thought, wow, yeah, this is an interesting. It's tonal again, so we're looking at ever such subtle variations of colour shade, but it's something a bit different, and I think it's it works.
Yeah, Senegal. I would quite like these. These are Puma, but they've got the sublimated, very intricate. Lions, Lions of Tarenga or something like that.
That's right, yeah.
I quite like these. I think I think that works quite well.
I love all of Puma's African shirts. I think they're always really exciting to see.
Yeah. Colombia, we mentioned they've gone with that retro design. It's okay. It's too modernized. I liked it the way it was. I liked the old shirt, but when you try and bring sometimes when you try and bring an old design forward, I don't think it's intricate enough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To tie in with what they should be doing for a team right now, with everything they know about design nowadays. So I think it maybe looks a little bit, not really of this time.
Okay.
The away, I like the colours of the away, the darker blue with the orange, which nods to kits of the past anyway, the orange.
Similar pattern to the Spanish kind of side panel, but flipped around. I see that they've, and there's only, it looks like there's only two sort of diamond arrangements there rather than three, but
yeah.
Different cut on that shirt as well, apparently. Have you heard that?
Oh, really? Oh, I hadn't heard that. No.
On the authentic version, they've got like the, we talked about the lower backs you mentioned earlier. Yeah. This is one of those ones where it has that. So the sides are raised a little bit higher and curved down.
Yeah.
Curved up at the sides and down at the front and back.
Yeah.
But again, only on the authentic ones, not the sort of, you know, replica. Cheaper replicas.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. I don't know if I'd want that anyway. I might prefer the replica version of that anyway.
Mm.
Japan. The home kit is great. It's got the like chainmail. That's the samurai, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, it's supposed to come from that. I couldn't quite see exactly where it's come from, samurai armor, but apparently it does. So, yeah, I love it. I think it looks great.
Mm. That's quite a nice one. My favorite shirt of the whole tournament is the away shirt. I think that's fantastic.
Oh, really?
Mm.
Again, we're looking at this really almost off-white again. More of a grey than a blue, but it's incredibly subtle, isn't it?
Yeah. But I think they've really done something new with those three bars across the shoulder as well. That's taking an old element, but really refreshing it. And
you can imagine that template working with lots of colourways, and even I'd be interested to see what it looked like with solid bars there rather than that tonal value. But it's really hopefully we'll see a few more of teams wearing that style and see what else how far that it can be pushed.
Yeah, I hadn't actually thought of that it might actually been. I've just thought of it as like a bespoke design for Japan, but it might well be that it gets used, and they've done that before. Adidas have.
Hope so. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that is the World Cup. That's all the kits that we know so far. A lot of references to the past in there as well.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
And that brings us on to your book, which I've just bought. Tell us a little bit about it, how it came about, because I remember when you first came on this podcast, I asked you if there would be a True Colours 3, and this is, in effect, True Colours 3, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I mean, it was something that was suggested to me last year. I was approached to do an international version. I think I mentioned before, my original, well, ANC Black, who published the first books, are part of Bloomsbury, who are publishing this one.
Mm.
But they first approached me many, many years ago to do an international version. And at the time, I didn't think it could be done to the standard that I would have wanted it to be done, because it just wasn't the research material there. But when they came to me last year, a quick look around made me realise that with the amount of higher profile shirt collectors online, people talking about kits, people drawing past kits, that it was going to be possible. And it's I'm delighted that it has proved to be. It's been hard work, but hopefully we've got as many kits as we can find for each country. They won't all be in there. I'm not going to say that, because there'll always be one or two that will be missed. It's the nature of the beast. But hopefully there's enough there for people to get excited about.
Yeah, I'm looking through it as you're talking there. And okay. It is fantastic. And I haven't found a missing shirt or anything like that just yet.
I thought that's where this was going.
But the shirts that I didn't know existed. Yeah, it's wonderful. I don't want to give too much away because everyone should buy this book. So I don't want to talk too much about it. But I'll be entirely honest, and I've said this to you before we started recording. I was looking forward to this for so many years. And then when it was released, I didn't immediately go out and buy it. I don't know why. I suddenly, maybe because it was the thrill of the chase or something. And once it's been released, it's like, okay, well, I'll move on to the next thing then. But I went and bought it, and it's amazing. And it is like, it really is like holding True Colours 3. I didn't expect it to be laid out in such a similar way to the True Colours books. I thought it would be different.
We looked at several ways that it could be done, but really, so many people like that simple style. There's no point kind of breaking that up. And because the book's so dense, I mean, if it's got more kits than True Colours 1 and 2 combined, and was put together in half the time, so make of that what you will. But it's a very dense book, so I think if we went for a looser layout, there'd be real danger of it becoming a mess. Mm. So we had to keep it very structured. And do the kind of double-decker approach, which meant for a little bit less text, but which was a shame, because some kits, it's hard to kind of find the angle on them, but some of them have such great stories and such great memories that it's almost a shame we have to cut the description a bit short.
Yeah, I haven't been reading it just yet. So, I mean, I always say that people should read True Colours 1 and 2 like a novel, and just start at the beginning and just get into it. And then you'll start to see the patterns between the different teams if you do it that way. So when you're halfway through the book, you'll remember, oh yeah, Aston Villa had a kit like that, and it seems to tie in. But I'm not reading I'm just looking at the pretty pictures at the minute. It was always just something that needed to come to fruition, because obviously you do these so well and it's so recognisable. That was the thing about it. The front cover, because it hasn't got the shorts and socks on it, I think that maybe that threw me a little bit, and that's why I thought the inside might be a little bit different. But when you open it up and you see those very familiar layout of the, not so much the layout of the type and everything, but the shirt and shorts and socks combination like that.
The cover wasn't, I didn't, the publishers handle covers, I didn't have anything to do with that, because the covers are so important, that's taken on by the publishers. But I think what surprised me so much is, it's tricky with international, because believe it or not, there aren't always as many stories there. You haven't got a story of a sponsor. You've got certain countries where really, for example, if we did a Swiss section, Switzerland aren't in the book, they would effectively just be wearing the latest template design all the way through their history. So you start to see lots of overlaps there. What surprised me is that the sub-stories that come out for the fact that, for an example, the USSR and Russia, the sheer number of kits that they've worn.
Yeah.
Because USSR didn't have a specific kit deal with Adidas. It was almost, let's wear whatever's hanging around. So timelines were all over the place, which was an absolute nightmare to try and pin down. And that's why I feel, as long as it tells a story through the kits, it can't accommodate every single possible change. It would just be too difficult, and it would become a dull read as well. But also teams like Italy, where in fact they've only ever really worn blue and white, and there's the integrity of the FA, the federation there, is so apparent throughout all of their kits. They didn't even have manufacturers' logos on until 2000. You know, it's extraordinary. So there's lots of little stories that pop up there, and it's fascinating to see how countries' cultures are represented as well.
Yeah. I'm looking through it now, and some of the things I'm finding are unbelievable. One thing I did, like, the little bits of nuggets of information are great. These are the things where that can throw you, I imagine, when you're doing research, where you go, oh, I've checked that game. They weren't wearing that shirt, were they? I haven't seen that.
That's exactly the problem with anybody. There's so many people that you know, document kit histories now. Anybody that does that will appreciate this. And that's why it's an almost impossible task. Mm. So, you know, for someone that's a perfectionist, it is quite frustrating because you know there will be omissions and errors, and it is how it is, and I just have to accept it, and hopefully, you know, there won't be that many. But yeah, you're quite right. My view of it is, unless you've got a photo from every single game, you can't possibly know exactly what every player wore.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of the great things that made the job easier for me was YouTube, and it's surprising how many countries, like France for example and the Netherlands, that every single game there's something on it on YouTube, so you can trace almost every game what they wore.
Yeah. What's the period that this covers?
Well, the book itself covers 20 teams, for people that don't know, and it's the big hitters in world football and a couple of the other ones that have got interesting kit stories, and the home nations and Republic of Ireland. We go from 66, and again, that was a publisher's idea, taking it from, obviously there's the England connotations there, but also what is regarded as possibly the first modern World Cup. So that's proved a good starting point. But it's been tricky in many ways, because you try and find out exactly what Mexico were wearing in the early 70s, and there's not a lot of evidence out there. So I've been very grateful to people that have helped me look at the kits and fill in some missing gaps. And you're credited in there a couple of times, I think, Jay.
Oh, so really? Oh, fantastic.
Thank you.
Circle that with a red pen.
Yeah, so thank you for that. But I've been so great. So many people have helped me out, which has been brilliant.
Yeah, well, it is something that we've been willing into reality for a while, so it's fantastic that's been done. I want to list all these things. I just want to talk about the things I've found in the couple of hours that I've owned the book. But I don't think that's right. I think people need to just buy this, because the things you will find out. I'm just looking at the Russia kits now, and it's just, why did they have all those kits?
I think, are you looking at the Reebok?
Yeah, I'm looking at the Reebok era, yeah.
But isn't it great? You know, you have to look. You then have to look at every single game.
Mm.
And of course, when you're on a tight deadline, it becomes really hard to do that. But I try to get in as many. I did my damnedest on this to try and make this the best I could.
Yeah.
But again, you're so surprised when you think, hey, why are they wearing that? Well, and then they go back to an earlier design.
Yeah.
So you have to try and accommodate that in the text. It is extraordinary, but the Russia one, I loved it. But it was hard graft. Yeah.
Yeah. I would go 3 years or 2 years at a time or something. I'd go, okay, oh, now they've changed the kit, so I've got to look at the game before that to see if that was the first one that they changed the kit. But if you're looking at every match, then you're going to see things like, I suppose, with Romania. When Romania,
yes, oh, exactly,
when they went to the Romania's not in here though, is it?
No. Do you want to quickly run through who is in there?
Yeah, please
would
do.
That,
yeah,
would that be of use? Right, we've got Argentina,
yeah,
Belgium. I'll go for an alphabetical order. Yep. Argentina, Belgium, Brazil, Denmark, England, France, Germany. And Germany, it's no secret, I'm not sort of hiding it, we didn't get permission from the German, the DFB, to include illustrations of their shirts, so we had to do a photo section. But a lot of people are saying actually it breaks up the layout of the book, so I think it's all fine, and I will make those available at some point. Italy, Mexico, Netherlands, Northern Ireland, Portugal, Republic of Ireland, Russia, USSR, Scotland, Spain, Sweden, Uruguay, USA, and Wales. So there's a real mixture of teams with long heritage and long histories in football, and teams like the USA where, you know, they've had their ups and downs, and the kits almost reflect that as well.
Yeah, certainly as eclectic kit histories go, it's a great selection of teams. So USA don't necessarily have the pedigree of some of the other teams, But yeah, the kit's fantastic.
But actually, there's stories there. And when you look at, a lot of USA fans aren't happy with the way that Nike have changed their culture, their history all the time. But I think that's one of the strengths of it, the fact that there's such a rich design, rich set of designs. And when you look at, for example, Scotland as well, you look at a spread of theirs and compare it to Italy's, where it's just blue and white, you're seeing a massive array of colour. Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? Well, it's up to, kind of up to the reader to decide, you know, how restricted should these colours be? Should they always be traditional, or should they let their hair down a bit?
Yeah. Yeah, it was, again, as we mentioned earlier, for the fan of football kits not connected with the country. So you mentioned the USA fans will be angry with Nike for changing the colours and the design so many times, but it's great for us. We don't have the same investment in the same way, but we get more kits and more styles of kits, so that's great. And they're beautifully illustrated in here, so that's even better.
Thank you.
Yeah, I highly recommend this book to everyone. As John said, there's a significant amount of my own input in there, so for that reason alone, people should buy it.
Sign some copies, Jane, and do it that way.
I might do that. I might go. Where is it? So it's stocked in Waterstones, isn't it? Waterstones.
Yeah, it should be everywhere. Waterstones around the country have it. It's doing really well on Amazon. So yeah. Amazon, Bloomsbury's website. Should be available all over the place.
Wonderful. So no excuse for not buying this. And really, anyone. I mean, I'm still just getting into this now, but it clearly is another True Colours. So if you own the first two books, you have to own this one as well. You don't. It's not okay to not own this one.
Sounds good, Jay.
Okay, well, thanks so much for coming on, John. This is fantastic. In fact, I want to end this podcast so I can go back to the book.
Brilliant. It's always a pleasure talking kits with you, Jay. It really is.
Well, we'll talk again soon, and thanks so much for coming on.
No, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
Mention something else. There are lots of different podcasts available. I don't know if we were officially the first football kit podcast, but Chris Oakley's doing some with Kit Bliss, and you can get extra podcasts if you sign up to his Patreon, which I recommend everyone does. There is also the Kit Club, I think, which is another one you can get on Apple. That's a great podcast. With a Girl podcast, which is a St. Pauli podcast based in Canada. Sean has actually been on the Design Football podcast with me. They did an interview with Jason Lee, who's also been on our podcast. It comes in two parts. That is a must listen as well. We'll have a listen to that. It's brilliant. It talks about how he designed the St. Pauli kits. Really worth listening to. So people should have a listen to that. And I think that's more or less it at the minute. But you're doing all right. If you've got four or five different podcasts going around that are focused on kits, you're doing okay, I think. So thank you for listening to this. I'm J29s on Twitter if you want to speak to me. John, you're on social media, True Colours. Kits.
True Colours Kits, yeah, on Twitter's best place to get hold of me there. But anybody, any comments or questions, John at truecolorsfootballkits.com. I'll be more than happy to chat.
Oh, brilliant. You've got his email. Wonderful. Okay, so Design Football on Twitter, designfootball.com on Facebook, and designfootball.com is the website as well. Thanks very much for listening, and we'll be back soon with someone else. And thank you, John, and thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers. Bye bye now.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.